Hi everyone, my name is Paul and I am definitely a nicotine addict and glad to be here tonight and I hope that all can hear me. My sobriety date is July 21st of 2015 and I spoke once before when I had a little over a year or so and so this is an honor and a privilege, and most definitely a privilege. Yes, I have fell off the meeting attendance a bit. I've had no special excuse to give you, but I've had a series of health problems over the time that I've been in to Vonner, and Vonner has been, I think I was only a few months nicotine free. I've been off and on quitting up till 2015 for 40-45 years. So I'm in my late 60s, and I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh though. But my sponsor is Mr. Kenny Mack, and so that's been another privilege. And I'm not going to say anything about the newcomer, but it's true the meetings get. I went to many more earlier on, and that doesn't mean that I won't again. And it also means is the meetings of honors worked for me. Some of the other websites and what have you, I'm sure you people are familiar with. Honors been is structured, and I like structure. And it's about the 12 steps, and I'm in another program and have been for a long time. And I like fellowship, but these meetings at Vonner give me my emotional sobriety and my emotional smobriety. I can be at home and I have a higher power and be involved in prayer and meditation, and I can be reading our book, which I do, and study, and attending meetings where I can. But it's at these meetings that I get that identification with you beautiful people and leave the meeting at the end of the session feeling, walking away with a little bit more hope and a little bit more resolution. And so I just do love it when I'm here. You are the people that are helping me. So it is a privilege. I didn't understand that in the beginning, but it is a privilege to do anything for Vonner. And my story is one of garden variety. I don't think it's, I have a lot of amusing anecdotes, but, or special war stories as they call them, but I smoked and quit for over 45 years. And just a long time, and you talk about being in denial, but the thing was, it's not just denial. I was willing to accept the consequences. If you can identify with that, everyone that's out there listening, I was willing to accept the consequences and would somehow rationalize out the reason that I needed another cigarette. And later on, I played around with all the NRTs and what have you. It's all nicotine. And it took a while. But I'm going to tell you a little about what it was like and what happened and how I'm like today and what it's like today. The neighborhood I came from, you know my age, it was a typical neighborhood back then in this area, and I live in Pennsylvania, close to a major city, and with all types of neighborhoods, and everybody smoked. Everybody, no matter where you went, everybody sat out on the steps on summer nights, all the way up the street, you seen the smoke. And it was just anywhere you went. At that time, you could smoke in the lobby of movies. You could smoke in the supermarkets. You could, you know, if you had them, you could smoke them. And I went to that to get out of myself. I'm not going to get into a lot of the prior time, but I would say at about 14 or 15, I crossed that line where I was addicted. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. Say that the entire neighborhood was smoking and addicted, and everywhere I went, and that was the views back then. But just to show you, I'll give you a couple instances tonight. I remember walking down the street in the neighborhood with a friend of mine, and that's how I know the teen, because I remember us being 15 and smoking, and turned the corner, and who's coming around the corner but my father? And I went, oh man, I'm in trouble now, big time, because it's not that maybe everybody didn't smoke, but he, you know, it was like it was interesting with him, and he had his age requirements. So I thought, you know, I'm really in all sorts of trouble. And so, of course, the other fellow shooed away, and me and my dad walked up the street. He wasn't a physical type, but he still had his ways. And I didn't know what we were going to do. We kept walking. We came across Savitz's drugstore on the corner of the main intersection of that neighborhood. And he took me inside and bought me a pack of cigarettes. And I was off to the races. And it was just condoned. But before I confuse anyone, I need to say up front that no matter what my childhood was, no matter what I was when I was 15 or all through my addiction, and that's only about totally clean and free from nicotine about 2 to 8 months. So it's a long, long time, long session. I'm responsible. I was responsible for picking up the cigarette, and there's just like I can be responsible today for not picking it up, but also for some of the freedoms and the joys that I received. I'll take them too. So this was where I said my story is kind of boring. It's on and on with the smoking, but it's every time there's a problem that's going to come up, I'm not realizing I'm reaching for that pack. There was always a price to pay as time went on, either physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, whichever way you looked at it. And I was willing to take it on the chin and accept those consequences, which is insanity in itself. So to do that, and as time went on, it got worse, and I knew it, and I knew that I was hooked, and didn't choose to do anything about it. I was well into another 12-step program, and still heard people share this too, and still picking up the cigarette or the NRTs, total denial, and so of course life goes on. And you start figuring out different ways. Things start changing in the world or in the area, and now it's a little kind of taboo. It's not too socially accepted and so forth and so on. They don't want you to smoke at the workplace and what have you. And this just made me angry. I just lashed out at that. You know, who are you telling me? You know, so besides the denial, there's another D, and that was very, very defiant. Even if it didn't on that, I still, inside of me, because it's all an inside job, you know, anyone can stop smoking for a day, but it's that the trick is to stay stopped, and I'm certainly not lecturing, but so time went on like that, and I did eventually start paying price with the breathing and what have you, but I was young enough to overcome a lot at one point. So I have to tell you an instance that I had thought about it the first time I shared about a year and a half ago, that if I ever had one story that I could share with the people of, you know, just the whole idea of the addiction and what have you. As you know, the for people who are smoking, the expense really increased and it really got out of hand. Now, I live right near the state of Delaware, and Delaware doesn't have sales tax. And so I made my sojourns and trips down to Delaware and made sure that I loaded up with cigarettes. As long as you weren't buying a few cases that you could, you know, they didn't care about you going over the state line. It wasn't a big deal. But I would go right over the state line, and there was this little gas station slash, you know, mini mart. And, you know, it was for gas and potato chips and things like that, too. But after a while, it was becoming a cigarette dispensary because I wasn't the only one that caught on that I could pay whatever, $20 or $30 less a carton if I went there. Well, I just didn't catch on. But the owner of the mini mart, whoever was, or the manager, whatever he was, he caught on too. So now when you went in, there were two lines on each side, and it was all about cigarettes. Nobody outside of gasoline, practically nobody was in there for anything else, you know. And he took advantage of that. And he said, if you don't have cash, I'm charging you 3% on your credit card and willing to take it on the chin. And then he would direct you to get in this line or that line. And I look at that now, and as I walked out a few times, though I didn't act on it, I look at how I was a sheep and how I was allowed myself to be humiliated, you know, with that. Again, I don't make that gentleman the villain, but it's a story that's always stuck in my mind. I said someday, it's only, oh, 20 minutes to half hour by car from here. Someday I would just like to go and stand there and just for some reason maybe be rid of something, but I'm not resentful at anybody there, but it's a story that has stayed with me. I feel my higher power wants me to remember that and address the fact that I was willing to go to any length to smoke a cigarette or acquire some sort of nicotine. I told you I got sick. Well, that three major issues, which I won't go into. But the first one started around 2005. Well, I didn't quit till 2015. So I had my hospital stays and what have you. I made sure I smoked, though it was taboo and you couldn't. I made sure I snuck smoking or found a way that I could have a friend bring in aerosol spray so I could go into the bathroom and smoke and all that in the middle of the night. It was a semi-private room. I found that the windows were jalousy windows, and I could go over, wait 2-3 hours in the middle of the night for this other gentleman to go to in the hospital room, to go over and open those windows and smoke. As I went into other institutions because of my medical conditions in other hospitals, and I seen that they were more stringent as time went on, I would take the tobacco from the cigarettes and put it in my tongue and under my tongue and what have you. I had to have it. Difference to me. And I remember being well over 25 years in another program and on the steps with a few of the younger gentlemen. And when we took a break out to the kitchen counter to get packed and have that cigarette, you know. Eventually, as my health got worse, most of the issues that I deal with medically are not really aren't very closely related to the smoking, but you can bet it to it. You can bet your last dollar. And so, all these advertisements are coming out. We're all these are what they call the NRTs, nicotine replacement therapy. I'm going, oh, well, maybe I could, well, I played the entire game with all that. And this is my story, so I'm speaking for me. Everyone's approach and about things and opinions are different with that. But I would start out with lozenges. I did the gum. The gum broke out. My mouth so bad, it cost me $3,000 in dental work because I wasn't just following the prescription that they gave you on the box over the counter. I was chewing gum like a rookie third baseman baseball player, chewing it up, and it loosened some of my teeth and ruined part of my gums. But, you know, as I said, I'll just stop doing the gum. Never think about just stopping the nicotine. Didn't have it in me. And, of course, the patches were a big thing for me, too. And all those things that go along with that. But, you know, I'd say that'll be it, and I'll stop. But I didn't. And eventually, like people will say to me, well, I stopped on the patch. It really was an enhancement for me, but I didn't. I stopped when I went cold turkey. And that's for me. That's my story. I stopped when I went cold turkey. It helped me take the edge off a little bit because as those years went by a few years ago, the anger came on big time as I tried to get that nicotine, lessened nicotine intake. I was Captain Angry, and it caused problems and got in trouble a few times at the workplace and elsewhere. The humiliation of something like that, the humiliation of being in another program and working the 12 steps and the principles and sponsoring five or six people and turning around and doing the, it was difficult. Very, very difficult. So, for me, it wasn't a flashing light or strapping me down to a gurney or anything like that. It was a series of, I did use the NRTs, and in fact, I count when I'm free from nicotine. I got off the cigarettes like a year earlier than that, but I'm not there here to congratulate myself about that because I was still doing nicotine. And for me, my health was really going. It wasn't a virtue. I couldn't really inhale anymore, it seemed. But anyhow, I tried these real small lozenges. And even the company suggested 10 or so a day. And I got down to 2 or 3. But what had happened, I had went to the dentist and I was going to get some surgery, root canal, and they give you a handout before you come back in the next week or whatever. And the way it was worded there. So it was a series of things where I started having a spiritual awakening, if you will. Because no human power, especially including my own, was going to get me off from, this is for me, was going off that nicotine totally. And it just had in bold type about, please, whatever you do, you'll ruin the chances at root canal, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, with smoking. Please don't, and blah, blah, blah. And it just, that's the last cigarette I had as I was reading that. I threw it down. And, but I wasn't done yet. I went to take a stress test for my heart. And the lady turned to me, who had the nerve to say this to me and was in part helped save me. And she turned to me and said, you have a lot of coronary problems, but you know what, Paul? Your main problem is nicotine. Your main problem is smoking. You know, you have to take care of that before anything else may fall into place. Wow. You know, I was embarrassed for a second, but, you know, these things were happening to me. And maybe through God's grace, I was willing to listen a little bit. But none of this was done by virtue, I need to tell you that. I had a modicum of willingness. And I have, I hope, a basic relationship with a higher power. I don't get real involved in praying for in detail or what have you, and just trying to align my will with the higher power, and that I have a say in it, but that I cannot change my higher power's will on the other side. And I got down to, like I said, the three lozenges. And like I had done for other life problems from time to time, though most of the time it was going to get a cigarette and smoking over them, people, places, and things, probably all the time, I went into my bedroom and I sat on the edge of the bed and I said to my higher power, please help me. I prayed in detail. I said, please help me. I don't want to smoke or do nicotine anymore. I really don't. I'm down to three lozenges a day, and I just can't get over the hump. You know, please help me where I can't help myself. And I haven't had a cigarette since then. And one has to wonder. But I really need to tell you, share you people, and I won't be going on too much longer, about how this was all well and good, but you know, I had to step up to the plate too. But over the years, I'm not telling you about a lot of quits I had with all that nonsense and really believing this was it and really trying, but I had 2 years here and 11 months there and 11 weeks there. That's over 45 years though. I've had a lot of quits and really meant it, but you know, there was always that reservation in me. And I knew it. You know, I couldn't get totally honest with my nicotine. Couldn't get totally honest. There was always that little reservation, you know, that maybe one day I could smoke again and it'll be different the next time. And you see, when I went in the bedroom tonight, as I remember back in my mind's eye, I was making no deals. All the times I went to my higher powers, I understand him, to say, help me with my smoking, blah, 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 whatever it was. You know, it was all me, though. It was no, I wasn't honestly turning to a power greater than myself. And you know what the higher power's answer was every time? No dice. No way. No. You know, until I could get totally honest and really say, I really cannot, you know. I'm not saying the NRTs didn't help. I'm not saying what that nurse said at the heart center didn't help, and me just reading that in a different way at the dentist and all sorts of things. They all helped, but it was the higher power who directed me to Vonner. I felt at home and comfort right away, and I tried to follow the principles of this program. I got a sponsor, and Kenny's a great man, and I've slipped a bit from the meetings, but I am by no means ungrateful. Today, I have a freedom that's, there's no words, you know, our language is impoverished because it's an inside job. It's a spiritual freedom and a further realization of myself and who I am. And my primary purpose, this falls, I have friends in my area here, and that we support each other with the smoking. I like reading meditations, what have you, and staying in our book as much as I can. Like I said, I have a sponsor. I could use more if I needed. But it was Vonner, like I had said in the beginning, I'm going to kind of end with that at the end, is that it was really Vonner for me that helped me identify when you would say, yeah, I was like that. Yeah, I, you know, I'm trying to sneak cigarettes in the hospital or whatever the case may be. And then when I started reading some of the literature, I loved it when our founder, who wrote that all out, wrote about the grand hoax. I said, wow. When he used that phrase, it hit me at another level too. And it was like, yeah, I really was fooling myself here with all this. And I just couldn't see it. So I have a balance today. I keep an eye on things, and I don't have a fear anymore, but I have an honest respect for nicotine. But I don't beat myself up. I kind of know what I have to do today. I haven't arrived. It's a day at a time. I get at this level for me, everybody's different. I get, I don't know if I want to call it an urge or what the name would be today. From time to time, it could be at a great, it could be when I'm feeling great, or it could be anywhere, just with the blue. And I've just learned to lean into it the best I can. There were scores of people in the beginning that helped me so much in Vonner, and they're still there if I want to reach out to any of you people. But I kind of lean into it and say, you know what? And I talk back to it and say, I got that urge, oh, maybe only 3 or 4 days ago, but it lasts a microsecond. But I'm not going to let it go that quick. I say, this is still my signs of healing. I'm still healing. You know, every fiber of my being, okay? That's all I wanted to do was, that was my solution to life, was smoking and nicotine and getting out of myself and not facing reality. But it's such a freedom, and I'll end with that. It's such a freedom to not have to look in the rearview mirror anymore, if you will. It's such a freedom that I don't have to be concerned about chastising myself like that and, you know, picking it up. But I know how difficult it is for anyone out there. I'll never be a reformed smoker or give anybody a hard time here or in Vonner or anywhere. It's amazingly difficult, but there is help here for us. And I'm very grateful because I received that help. And as I would walk, get up and smoke, yeah, one more cigarette, pacing the floor, I'd say to myself, surely there's got to be another way. Because I knew, deeply addicted, I mean, through 4 decades. But say, friends, I'd say, surely there's another, there's someone or something or somebody that could do it to help me with this horrible, horrible addiction. And you know what? It turned out there was. It was the higher power in you people at Vonner. And thanks for letting me share tonight. God bless everyone. Thank you.